To separate yourself from such a crowd, you need to get rid of a common misconception. The essence of strategy is not to carry out a brilliant plan that proceeds in steps. It is to put yourself in situations where you have more options than the enemy does. Instead of grasping at option A as the single right answer, true strategy is positioning yourself to be able to do A, B, or C, depending on the circumstances. That is strategic depth of thinking, as opposed to formulaic thinking. Sun Tzu expressed this idea differently. What you aim for in strategy, he said, is shi, a position of potential force. The position of a boulder perched precariously on a hilltop, say, or of a bowstring stretched taut. A tap on the boulder, the release of the bowstring, and potential force is violently unleashed. The boulder or arrow can go in any direction. It is geared to the actions of the enemy. What matters is not following preordained steps, but placing yourself in shi and giving yourself options. Napoleon had always aimed at his version of shi, and he perfected it in the 1805 campaign. Obsessed with structure and organization, he developed the corps system, building flexibility into the very skeleton of his army. The lesson is simple. A rigid, centralized organization locks you into linear strategies. A fluid, segmented army gives you options, endless possibilities for reaching shi. Structure is strategy, perhaps the most important strategic choice you will make. Should you inherit a group, analyze its structure and alter it to suit your purposes. Pour your creative energy into its organization, making fluidity your goal. Finally, you need to structure your group according to your soldiers' strengths and weaknesses, to their social circumstances. To do that, you must be attuned to the human side of your troops. You must understand them and the spirit of the times, inside and out. During the American Civil War, the Union generals struggled with the ragtag nature of their army. Unlike the disciplined, well-trained troops of the Confederacy, many Northern soldiers had been forcibly conscripted at the last minute. They were pioneers, rugged frontiersmen, and they were fiercely independent. Some generals tried desperately to instill discipline, and mostly they failed. Others just paid attention to map strategy while their armies continued to perform badly. General William Tecumseh Sherman had a different solution. He changed his organization to suit the personalities of his men. He created a more democratic army, encouraged initiative in his officers, let them dress as they saw fit. He loosened outward discipline to foster morale and group spirit. Like frontiersmen generally, his soldiers were restless and nomadic. So he exploited their mobility and kept his army in perpetual motion, always marching faster than his enemies could. Of all the Union armies, Sherman's were the most feared and performed the best. Like Sherman, do not struggle with your soldiers' idiosyncrasies, but rather turn them into a virtue, a way to increase your potential force. Be creative with the group's structure, keeping your mind as fluid and adaptable as the army you lead. Reversal. Even if you run a looser organization, there may be times when you will have to tighten it and give your officers less freedom. Wise generals set nothing in stone, always retaining the ability to reorganize their army to fit the times and their changing needs.